This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us delivering powerful, meaningful, and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation, and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings, and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, broadcasting from sunny St Kilda at Australia's only Pride Centre, Macca.
Australia's only LGBTQI plus radio station. One of, I think, only four in the world.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And we were the first.
And there is another Joy radio in the world, Macca.
Yes, some people call it Joy FM. Joy 94.9 is what we are. Not say Joy FM and you'll get a look from me. Anyway, no. Our next guest is Giancarlo De Vera, President of the Australian GLBTIQ Multicultural Council. Good morning, Giancarlo. How are you?
Not bad, thank you. Wish I was in the Pride Centre, though. I haven't had the chance to see it since it's been open properly.
I know.
But you do have an office here. I have seen it. It's directly above us.
Yeah, we do, but it's unfortunate I'm stuck out in lockdown Sydney, so I haven't had to leave the state since remember now, to be honest.
Yeah.
But, looking forward to being down there as soon as I can because it's definitely a remarkable building.
And, a little bit of context, we could make, remarks about the different states and what they're doing. The reality is what's happening to us here in Australia is nothing compared to what's happening elsewhere in the world. And particularly, I wanted to talk this morning about, Giancarlo, about Australia's response to what's happening in Afghanistan, but in particular a focus on our community in Afghanistan. I couldn't think of a group of people, and I was thinking about this before the show, in Afghanistan that would be, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that would be more at risk from the Taliban than our community. There are probably others.
Yeah.
Certainly we're right up there in terms of risk. And what is our federal government doing in this area? And what is the, do you have any, information on what is going on in Afghanistan with regard to our community?
It's really hard to get credible information on the ground over there in Afghanistan. We've reached out to the global offices of the UNHCR in Europe, and we're trying to get a better understanding of how this is impacting the local queer population over there. I've spoken to them twice in the last week, and they can't quite get any information about it, but that doesn't take away from the fact that, as a country, we can start preparing to ensure that, anyone who's resettled here is absolutely going to be able to be resettled to be their full and authentic selves. At the moment, we're focusing on trying to increase the number of people coming to the country. As you would have known, the Prime Minister has announced 3,000 people through humanitarian program to come to Australia. But compared to other countries similar to ours, that's not exactly up there. So the conversation really is trying to get the number up. The intake conversation and the number of people we can take in as part of that intake is primarily the conversation we're having now with government. And dare I say, it could be a lot better than 3,000, and it should be a lot better. We've seen Australia respond well to other humanitarian crises, most recently in Syria, where we took we had about 50,000 people come to Australia and resettled. So 3,000 is obviously not up there. And so the conversation about increasing the intake is definitely there. But I guess what I'm concerned about at the moment, to be quite honest with you, is how this conversation will be panning out in the context of a federal election. I'm worried this might be a potentially a cancer-like conversation that could spur an election conversation around refugees again. And I don't know if that's what we want to be having, because I'm a bit careful myself in having a conversation about how we can increase people coming to Australia and stuff to help support people fleeing from the persecution in Afghanistan, particularly our community, because that will just open up the wounds around Australia's uncomfortable relationship with asylum seekers.
Yeah, look, it's how we look at this issue. It's important to remember we look at it from a position of great privilege, and much as we might think that our community gets a little bit of a raw deal in Australia in some regards, compared to the rest of the world, we don't. And compared to refugees from our community and the place that they're fleeing, what we expect from the federal government, all that I expect from the federal government, let's just say I'm setting the bar a little low, and I expect fairness and equity and honesty, and that someone's sexual orientation shouldn't be a factor as to whether or not they come to Australia. Now, the government will deny that it is. There's lots of evidence that that isn't the case. They lie through their teeth about this.
Oh.
Well, they do. No, they do.
They do.
And even if they're
not lying to their teeth, the practice of it is indirectly discriminatory. Like, we hear all the time about, one of the things about having Syrian established family, for instance, it's conceptualized in the concept of heterosexual, cisnormative, and nuclear families. And so how can you possibly provide evidence when you've been living in a country that, isn't exactly friendly to the queer community already, and then having to prove that they are living with each other? Of course not, but they're living with each other, because they don't live with each other over there, And so it's things like that that make it really indirectly difficult for them to, be truthful and authentic and act with integrity in how they operate and implement the humanitarian program here in Australia.
Yeah, and look, I want to encourage the federal government and the immigration minister and the foreign affairs minister and the defence minister, who, let's face it, they've all sort of done those jobs at different times. It's a little bit of a cabal, but I want to encourage them to actually abide by the letter of the law and the rules, and that is to not to discriminate. And we're talking here about sexual orientation with regard to people, trying and wanting to come here from Afghanistan.
And Giancarlo, do we have a sort of a sense of the volume of people? Mm. How many numbers are we talking about?
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out through the UN, UNHCR's office in Europe. We're not sure about the population that's trying to flee locally in Afghanistan. I will hopefully have more information next week, but we can expect the population to be similar to ours as a whole population statistic. Like, one in ten of us are probably going to be queer, and I think it's kind of the same over there. And that number is essentially what we expect. But I guess the issue isn't so much about the volume, but the issue is more around the when people don't feel safe to be out and just disclose their status, they're not necessarily going to be able to reach a point where they can apply for asylum based on, on their sexual orientation and come to Australia through that method. It's not something that is easily done when people over there are experiencing extreme levels of homophobia, queerphobia, and aren't at a position where they don't feel comfortable and safe enough to be able to put up their hand and say, yes, I'm worried about this. I might want to seek asylum on that basis, because a lot of them aren't necessarily as proud as we are going to be up, in Pride Melbourne, the Pride in Melbourne or up in Sydney, up where I am, a stone's throw away from Oxford Street. And so it is So it's a bit more difficult to have the conversation about volume.
It certainly is.
Look, unfortunately, we've run out of time. It's an extremely challenging issue, and it's very difficult. I'd like to, in a couple of weeks, let's get you back on when you perhaps got some idea about the number involved. I know you won't be out of Blair's gulag by then, but what do they call it?
You've been waiting to say that all day, mate.
I have. There's one for Victoria. Anyway, we'll think of it. So, look, thank you. Thanks for your time, but particularly thanks for your work. Pretty challenging, but keep at it.
I wanted to highlight this quickly before I go, is that we're doing a show for Difficult Displaced People's Network as well. I want to have a shout-out to the amazing chair, Renee Dixon, as well, because they share the work with us. And so thank you for having me.
Great.
Yeah, good on you. That was Giancarlo De Vera, President of the Australian GLTBIQ Multicultural Council Incorporated, and yet another resident here in the organisation.
Another resident in the Victorian Pride Centre.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.